And now online, via various audio providers, on your phone or tablet, via your desktop or laptop, I don't know, it's time for another edition of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast.
Well, hello there. It's me, Ian Danter, back with episode 22 of my Barmy Old Podcast alongside my wingmen, Sean Percival and Andy Robinson. 30 minutes or so of what we hope will tickle your funny bone with parody songs, sketches and the like. All your regular favourites are in place. Mr. Men Stories, Desi's Diaries, Black Country Bob, the politically incorrect MP for Dudley. Plus, also on today's show, Morrissey has a simple request during lockdown. Keno has a birthday, and what would politics in these aisles have been like if we'd let a sportsman run things? Neil Sedaka joins us very shortly as well. He was with us last time out, but before he gets warbling, I do need to get you an update from the Barmy Old Podcast News Desk with Jim White and first, Hugh Edwards.
Thank you, Ian, and hello to you. Trade talks between the UK and Japan are being held up by a dispute over Blue Stilton. One of the Japanese negotiators stormed out of a meeting after being called smelly and not very mature. Pleading innocence, one of the UK's trade team said, "I was referring to the cheese, not the negotiator." As part of further changes to lockdown measures across the UK, theatres are now being allowed to reopen, although strict social distancing guidelines remain in place, as well as guidance from the government stating that laughter is not allowed during shows. Representatives of the tour of the Mrs. Brown's Boys show has said of the restrictions on laughter, "Chance would be a fine thing." The government's transport secretary was today described as lovely and refreshing by a political commentator during a debate on Zoom. The commentator later issued a statement claiming she had misheard the question. "I said lovely and refreshing because I thought they were asking me about peach snaps," she said, "whereas Grant Shapps is just a git." Simon Cowell had to undergo surgery after falling off his electric bike in Malibu. The surgeon said that he'd removed Cowell's right and left ventricle, numerous vertebrae and his spleen. In other words, he's gutless, heartless and spineless, but then we knew that already, didn't we? And now for the sport, here's Jim White.
Thanks very much, Hugh. Manchester United midfielder Bruno Fernandes received a fixed penalty notice this week for going at 35 miles an hour in a 40 miles an hour zone. Now, when Fernandes pointed out that he was actually driving 5 miles an hour under the speed limit, the police authorities issued a statement expressing surprise. "Manchester United players should be used to getting penalties they don't deserve," it said.
Thanks, Jim, and that's it from us. You're up to date. Thank you, gentlemen. Well, Neil Sedaka, the genius singer-songwriter, joined us last week on the Barmy Old Podcast to croon about the terrifying rise of the Karens, as they're known in modern society. Delighted to say that Neil is back with us again today, this time thinking about his 2020 calendar as a whole.
Oh, COVID-19. Yeah, that COVID-19. Oh, COVID-19. Each and every day of this year, January, you start the year all fine. February, then there are some warning signs. March, the government told me to stay in. Extend the furlough scheme. July. Went for a ride upon my brand new
a second spike.
Breaking news here on the BBC, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson has announced that the whole of the UK is going into lockdown over coronavirus fears. So whatever plans you had for 2020, forget about it.
Time to cross to the Houses of Parliament, as we normally like to do at this stage of proceedings in the Barmy Odd podcast, to hear from the politically incorrect MP for Dudley, your friend and mine, Black Country Bob. Now, this episode goes back to spring of 2002, in actual fact, quite a way back, when myself and Sean and Andy were on the Barmy Brummies Drive Time show at BRMB in Birmingham, at a time when the Houses of Parliament were just about to go for a little bit of a break. But of course, the politically incorrect MP for Dudley is never D-mob happy, is he? He's still completely highly strung, even when he's about to have a little holiday.
He's in the House of Commons, he's parliamentary, and proudly representing his constituency. He's the perfect politician until he opens his gob. He's the MP for Dudley, he's Black Country Bob.
Mr. Speaker!
Yes, statement to the House, Prime Minister.
Before this House goes into recess, I would like to wish all the honourable members a happy Easter.
Great.
And I urge you all to remember why we call this day Good Friday.
Yeah. Do you have to be so patronising? I know exactly why it's called Good Friday.
Yes.
It's because we get a day off, ain't it?
The right honourable member for Dudley is showing his ignorance again.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever read the Bible?
Of course I've read the Bible, but I don't enjoy it. Come on, it's a bit far-fetched, ain't it?
Eh?
That character Jesus was totally unbelievable, wasn't he?
Look, he wasn't a character. He was a real man.
What? A real man? Healing the sick and turning water into wine? You don't believe that twaddle, do you?
Well, yes, of course I do.
Then I put it to the House that the Prime Minister is as gullible as Joseph. The only decent character in that book was the devil.
Order! Order! Prime Minister! Well, I just simply don't believe
when Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, who was it who offered him some water? Go on, tell us! Who offered Jesus a drink of water?
Well, the devil...
See, I told you! That devil was a sound bloke!
The right honourable member for Dudley is an evil blasphemer who will go to hell. It is obvious from what he said in this House today that he worships Satan. I put it to the House that the right honourable member for Dudley is into black magic.
No, I ain't! No, I ain't! I call stunned dog chocolate!
We've been trying to make sporting cliches, catchphrases and idioms sound that little bit more interesting on the Barmy Old podcast in the last few weeks in the context of a general knowledge round of Mastermind, hosted by Magnus Magnusson. So we've had like motor racing and football and cricket and boxing. Time to make horse racing cliches sound a bit more interesting, I think. And we welcome back our next competitor, Peter O'Sullivan. Peter, you scored 7 points on your specialist subject of the history of the Melling Road. Here comes your general knowledge round, starting now. A chiropodist is treating a patient with bunions and calluses. What is she hoping for after 3 months of treatment?
She wants it soft underfoot.
Correct. The costume designer has only made the pantomime character Red Riding's coat. What do you suggest?
He's going to need the hood here.
Correct. There's a sudden reawakening of interest in cassettes amongst music buyers. What will happen next?
The tapes are about to go up.
Correct. What would you say about the man who didn't understand Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon's sitcom set in Greece, Italy and the Lake District?
Pass.
How would you explain Nigel Farage's mental state?
He's blinkered once again.
Correct. What did Mozart's teacher say when he first heard him play?
One of the best two-year-olds I've seen.
Correct. A woman goes to the Allied store and then goes straight to the Tappy store afterwards. Why?
She's gone into double carpet.
Correct. How would you describe the Tory MP who went to see a dominatrix?
Pass.
How would you describe a man's physical appearance immediately after sexual intercourse?
He's shortened considerably in the last few minutes.
Correct. What do you say when asked if you want to see your mum's sister's letters?
Let's look at the antepost.
Correct. Some stewards are inquiring. What's happening?
There's a steward's inquiry?
Correct. And they do say the questions are easier on the celebrity version of this show. What would you rather not hear a specialist in conjoined twins say?
I can't separate them.
Correct. A couple in the lower circle see people going through another entrance. Why?
They're just heading into the stalls.
Correct. What is it not a good... I've started, so I'll finish. What is it not a good idea to reply when asked your thoughts about a new dress that's being tried on by your partner?
She's carrying the top weight.
That is correct, and you passed on two. We asked what would you say about the man who didn't understand Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon's sitcom set in Greece, Italy and the Lake District. The answer there, he just couldn't get the trip. And the other pass was, how would you describe the Tory MP who went to see a dominatrix? And the answer there, he responded brilliantly to the whip. Peter O'Sullivan, well done. You've scored 12 points. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you for not asking me any questions about getting a length between them. That's more Desi's thing.
I think if there's one thing that's characterised politics in recent years, and particularly this year, 2020, with everything that's happened around the world, is that notion of, oi, look over there, look over there, look at that, in order to kind of distract you from something that you should be looking at that's actually very important and isn't being handled very well. And I think that's the case on both sides of the Atlantic, don't you?
When you are in trouble and the public is displeased, give a doggy whistle. Give a doggy whistle. And when you've messed situations up, just blame the refugees. Give a doggy whistle. Just give a doggy whistle. Always lie when you speak, pucker up and moan. And if your point is weak, say, this isn't cricket. Just lay the blame here and there, but never on yourself. Give a doggy whistle. Give a doggy whistle. And always make sure you blame someone else.
Okay, Boris, you ready? When you get in trouble and you don't know right from wrong, give a doggy whistle. Just give a doggy whistle. Yeah, blame Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the single moms. Give a doggy whistle. Okay, give a doggy whistle. Never ever tell the truth. Just tweet away your lies. Blame it on fake news. Say, it just isn't baseball, folks. Do not let the public know that you've lied and lied and lied. Give a doggy whistle. Okay, give a doggy whistle. And never let your conscience be your guide.
Very good, Donald. Come and have a look at this fridge. It's wonderful.
That's been a difficult week for football clubs and players north of the border. An awful lot of damage limitation required. Nicola Sturgeon giving Scottish football the yellow card, as she put it, for transgressions during the COVID lockdown. Oh, we've actually got some Scottish football final scores for you now.
Scottish football players' pandemic rule-breaking classified results. Scottish Premiership Division. Aberdeen 8. Idiots went to a bar during lockdown and two of the docks caught COVID. Celtic 1. Total Pratt went to Spain and back without telling anyone or self-isolating when he got back. Rangers 3. Went into supermarkets without wearing face masks. Ross County 5. Stopped washing their hands before they'd sung a complete verse of Happy Birthday to You. Dundee United 1. Stood less than a metre away from a bloke in a chip shop queue. Kilmarnock 1. Kissed his granny on the cheek without thinking about it. Motherwell 1. Picked a bottle of pasta sauce off the shelf in the corner shop and then put it back again when he realised it was 50p cheaper in Aldi. Hibs 0. St Mirren versus St Johnstone was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch, and Aberdeen and Celtic's next match is postponed due to moronic players.
Thank you very much. Des's Diaries on the way, and a Mr Men story for you too on the Barmy Yard podcast. But let's hear from our old mate again, Snoop Dogg, because now that he's famous in the UK for his fast food delivery advert, Snoop's been giving the Barmy Yard podcast his take on classic TV ads of the past in previous episodes. I'm sure you've heard them, whether it's been chocolate bars, soft drinks, or, like here, healthy breakfast cereals.
Here. This is dumb. All right. So what about the weather? Is it gonna rain? You can ask without any reply. But ask about the bran flakes, that's a different matter. Here. And you know why. So how you like your eggs done? Hey, you seen the milkman? You know you got a wazizzle in your izzle. But ask about the bran flakes, that's a different missile. This is what you hear. Can you catch a nice trout? I don't want a minnow. I think you caught an old boot. But talk about the bran flakes, that's a different missile. This is what they'll do. How about a halibut or a jelly deal? You know your wazizzle's up the hook. But talk about the bran flakes, that's a whole new word of pain. I don't cook the book. Everyone together, bend and then stretch. You can say without any respizzle. But rap about the bran flakes, whole different predicament. They'll gizzle what they whizzle. Let me fill your biceps, let's do some press-ups. I think my guy's on the fly. But give me lots of bran flakes, something else, baby. And you all know why. They're tasty, 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 tasty. Very, very tasty. Yeah, they're tasty, tasty, they're tasty, tasty, very, very tasty. Wow. Yeah, T-A-S-S-T to the Y, dog, yeah, they're tasty.
Bran Flakes!
Cheers, Snoop. Well, the England cricket team are now in the middle of a test series against Pakistan, whose Prime Minister, Imran Khan, was also a very famous cricketer, arguably one of the best all-rounders that cricket has ever seen. What a bowler, batsman, captain, incredible bloke. So, could you imagine what it would have been like if England's greatest ever opening batsman was now our Prime Minister? I bet he'd have handled the outbreak of the pandemic differently.
Hello, I'm Hugh Edwards. Thank you for joining us to this BBC News COVID-19 special broadcast. Joining me from his office in number 10 Downing Street is the Prime Minister, Geoffrey Boycott.
And no, Hugh, it's not number 10 Downing Street anymore. I've moved the Prime Minister's official residence to a terraced house in Leeds, over to Row from where Pitt used to be.
All right, so, Prime Minister, the pandemic, which has...
Oh, pandemic. I'm sick of hearing about this bloody pandemic.
Well, how can you say that, Prime Minister? Lives are being lost to COVID-19.
Look, there's no need to do anything rash. This virus was made in China, for goodness sake. It'll start working after a couple of weeks. You see if it doesn't.
Prime Minister, I must insist, this virus can be lethal to anyone over the age of 50.
Look, I'm telling you, if you've reached 50, you've had a decent innings. OK, it's not the same as getting to 100, but it's still a good knock.
Yes, but Prime Minister, coronavirus is already taking hold in London.
Well, that's because these southerners' bodies can't build up any resistance to it because of all that modern food that they eat.
Sorry, modern food? What modern food are you referring to, Prime Minister?
Ah, you know, fruit, vegetables, all that bloody vegan muck. Your body won't produce antibodies on a diet of lentils and asparagus. You need to eat proper food, like meat.
Look, people want to know if a vaccine has been developed, Prime Minister. They are worried.
Vaccine? Vaccine? What are you on about, man? I tell you something, we would never have needed a vaccine back in the 70s when the pits were still open.
Well, why on earth would you say that, Prime Minister?
Because all the coal dust you breathed in from working down pit would have formed a protective lining on your lungs that no Chinese virus would have been able to penetrate, I'm telling you.
Some politicians are suggesting there should be a lockdown, Prime Minister, and that the government should devise a slogan, something like, stay home, protect the NHS and save lives.
Rubbish. Absolute bloody rubbish. My advice to the British public is this. Find a slag heap, inhale some coal dust, eat meat.
All right, I think we'll leave it there. Good night, everybody. And don't forget Prime Minister Boycott's advice there. Find a slag heap, inhale some coal dust and eat meat.
Oh, one last thing, Hugh. If that NHS is still moaning about a lack of personal protective equipment, I could always fish me box out of me old kit bag and lend it to them.
Okay, well, of course, that's not the reality of it. Geoffrey Boycott as Prime Minister? No, just a figment of our imagination. But what about the guys really in charge? Now, opposition MPs this week have been suggesting that Boris Johnson putting the former TalkTalk CEO Dido Harding in charge of Test, Track and Trace was another act of cronyism. She's married to a Tory MP, by the way, in case you weren't aware. Well, it's not working, all of this, is it? I wonder if Dido has been communicating with the PM at all.
Your world-class track and trace ain't working. It's really god-awful. The staff at the massive call centre are doing bugger all. And even when we find the contacts, they never answer any calls. So your world-class track and trace is bad. It's really bad.
Dear Dido, I know the track and trace ain't working. It's not world-class, it's just crap and for me so embarrassing. Keir Starmer, he's harassing. I'm really sick of him. He's saying there's a problem, so I just mumble something. Sometimes I make up lies. It's really useful if you've got them. But anyways, I know this woman, and someone ought to, when she's chasing migrants, push her in the water. Maths wasn't taught her. I wish I could deport her. Why'd they call her pretty? That bitch is my Home Secretary. It's a pity. Matt Hancock, he's in charge of health. Only God knows why I picked him. I have this slimy special advisor, and I'm his biggest fan. He's called Dominic Cummings, a horrible little man. Have you seen Lord of the Rings? He looks just like Gollum. So I ended up with COVID-19 because I'm fat. Anyways, the NHS saved me, and I'm back. Still a prat. Truly yours. Your biggest fan. This is Boris.
Your world-class track and trace ain't working.
He's like me then.
It's really god-awful.
Like me again.
The staff at the massive call centre are doing bugger all.
This is uncanny.
Even when we find the contacts, they never answer any calls.
I'll just get Dom to do
so
it.
So your world-class track and trace is bad. It's really bad.
Well, don't worry, Dido. After all, we're paying you millions. So just keep it to yourself, will you? Or I'll set Dom on you.
Time to once again open up that hefty tome that we call Desi's Diaries here on the Barmy Old Podcast. This particular entry from the housewife's choice, our Des, dates back to 2006, and it's in homage to a supermarket chain that's no longer with us.
Desi's Diary.
Hi, girls. Des here on Ian Danter's Sunday Carve-Up here on 100.7 Hard FM. And it's time, once again, for Des's Diaries. And today, it's a big... Hi, girls. To all the staff in the delivery department at Summerfields. Well, would you believe it? I once had to deliver some loads when I worked as a driver. Well, the first time I approached the front gates, I noticed they were only fractionally wider than my vehicle. Well, just then, a beautiful young manageress approached me, and she asked me to show her what I'd got in the back of the van. Well, what can I say? As soon as she saw my package, she could hardly wait to get it inside. I inquired about the front gates, but she told me not to worry, and then with a big smile on her face, she opened them wide and guided me in. I'll tell you what, I spent the rest of the afternoon going in and out of that tight entrance. Fantastic. When I'd finally finished, she thanked me for
delivering the goods. Don't bother using the front next time,
she went on.
Just go straight to the rear end.
Cheerio.
Des's Diary. The Sunday Carve-Up. 100.7 Hot FM.
Now, in times before lockdown, Morrissey, the former Smiths frontman, was often in the headlines for all the wrong reasons, things he said, quotes attributed to him in the press. But he's been very quiet of late. Until now, that is, actually. He's joined us on the Buy Me Odd podcast as Morrissey because it seems he's rather concerned about lockdown easing measures and face coverings.
COVID's not nice and COVID can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. COVID's not nice and
good to hear from you. I'd like to get your opinion, actually. Boris Johnson, as Prime Minister, has come in for a fair amount of criticism from many quarters, but also he's been defended by some people as well about the way he's handling the pandemic. What do you think about the Prime Minister? What should happen to him?
Hang the BJ, hang the BJ, hang the BJ, hang the BJ,
right.
Hang the BJ, oh, yeah,
okay.
Hang the BJ, hang the BJ.
I get the point.
Hang the BJ, hang yeah. The BJ, hang the BJ.
Yeah, I think we've got the gist of that. I think Morrissey's made his point. Now, it's a very happy birthday for this past week to everyone's favourite football pundit, Mr. Roy Keane, who I'm quite sure will have very much enjoyed his special day with his family.
Happy birthday to Dad. Happy birthday to Dad. Happy birthday, dear Daddy. Happy birthday to you.
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Oh, what do you think of that then, Roy?
I'm shocked. I'm shocked at that singing. That's the worst singing I've ever heard in my life. It's disgraceful.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
It's disgusting. I'm fuming sitting here. You were out of tune, all of you. Admit it. That was awful. I mean, where were the harmonies? Why wasn't one of you conducting?
But Dad,
We've got you a cake, Dad. Will you blow the candles out?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. Hang on. There are only 8 candles on this cake.
What's wrong with that?
I'm 49, not 8. There should be 49 candles on this cake, not 8. I'm flabbergasted. Flabbergasted that there's only 8 candles on this cake. Kids, you should hang your heads in shame.
Oh, have a taste, Dad. It's supposed to be really nice.
All right, then. All right, I'll have a taste.
Oh, but Jesus, that's far too sweet. I mean, that's just like eating sugar.
I mean, I've eaten a lot of the cake in my time, but that, I'm staggered. Staggered sitting here. The flat singing, the lack of candles, the sickly cake.
Oh, come on, it can't be that bad, Roy. It's a well-known brand.
Unbelievable. That cake was made by an international. An established international cake maker made that. He's obviously just going through the motions. And the most overrated cake maker in the world. I'm sick of this cake maker. I'm going to be fighting this cake maker. There's no way around it. I'm going to be throwing punches at this guy when I find him.
Oh, Daddy, please come back. Please don't hurt Mr. Kipling. Leave Mr. Kipling alone, Daddy. Oh, Mummy, Daddy's not going to hurt Mr. Kipling, is he?
Well, kids, I'm afraid Mr. Kipling's going to get an exceedingly good beating. And I tell you what, for Aunt Bessie's sake, you better throw those Yorkshire puddings away in case your dad doesn't like them either.
So it's time for another of our previously unreleased, unheard Mr. Men stories on the Barmy Yard podcast. This one dates back to 2004 when we were doing the Sunday Carve-Up show on Heart FM in the West Midlands. And listening back to this, it suddenly made me realise if this particular Mr. Man was around now in the days of camera phones, selfie sticks and constantly taking photos of yourself, well, this bloke just wouldn't know what to do with himself.
Mr. Vane worked at a newsagent's. He could have had a much better job, but when he took his exams, instead of answering the questions, do you know what Mr. Vane did? Yes, you're right. He spent the whole time checking his reflection in his stainless steel pen. Just then, a man came into the shop. Have you got a mirror? He inquired. Yes, I've got hundreds, replied Mr. Vane, and he produced one from every pocket of his trousers and shirt, and he even had one tucked in his sock. No, I meant a mirror newspaper, said the customer, shaking his head. Now, that evening, on his way home, Mr. Vane was so preoccupied staring at himself in the rearview mirror that he drove off the road, and his car spanned that many times as it plummeted down an 80-foot embankment that Mr. Vane ended up with his head wedged between his buttocks. So, when Mr. Vane's mother went to visit him in hospital, a nurse said to her, he's in that ward over there. He's the one with his head up his own bottom. Oh, you've met him then, replied Mr. Vane's mother. Now, while convalescing at home, Mr. Vane noticed an old lamp on the mantelpiece. If I give that a rub, I bet I'll be able to see myself in it, he thought. But when he rubbed the lamp, can you guess what happened? Yes, you're right. A genie popped out, and can you guess how many wishes he gave Mr. Vane? No, you're wrong. Only the one. I wish I had a magic mirror, said Mr. Vane, and the genie granted his wish. I have a beautiful face and a superb muscle-toned body, stated Mr. Vane conceitedly as he stood in front of his magic mirror. However, like most men, there's one part of my body where I could do with an extra couple of inches, Mr. Vane thought to himself, and then he chanted, magic mirror on my wall. Make my winkle touch the floor. And can you guess what happened then? Yes, you're right. Mr. Vane's legs fell off. Poor Mr. Vane. The self-obsessed...
So finally for this week, one of the massive stories in the news has really centred around the English Channel, the stretch of water between us and continental Europe. Lots of stories about migrants attempting to cross the channel in various crafts, some seaworthy, some definitely not. And news teams kind of chasing after them. It just didn't sit well with me particularly. There's a lot of anger on both sides of the migrant argument. And here's Rod Stewart to tell us in his opinion, what's going on.
They are sailing, they are sailing to England, across the sea. They are sailing, stormy waters, to risk their lives in.
There you have it. Thanks very much, Rod the Mod. And thanks to you for listening, because we're just about out of time for this episode of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. My thanks, as always, to Sean Percival and Andy Robinson for their input on this here show with the sketches and songs and whatnot. Please continue to rate, review and subscribe. We do love it when we see you spreading the word about this here show, whether it's via Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, whatever it may be. Incidentally, if you want to get in touch with me with any questions or comments, on Twitter, it's at TalkDance. That's TalkDants. Or you can email me direct through my website, iandanter.co.uk. There's a little link on there so you can send me an email. Have a great week and look after yourself. And we'll see you for episode 23 of Ian Danter's Buy Me Old Podcast. And as Des would say, cheerio.